13. Waxillium didn't have time to raise his weapon. He instantly increased his weight and flared his steel as he pushed forward on the doors between the rail cars. The glass windows exploded as the doors bent and ripped free, blocking the bullets as Miles fired three times in quick succession. The car lurched as the train began a turn. Heads popped out of compartments, wide eyes searching for the cause of the noise. Miles again took aim down the corridor at Waxillium. Children nearby were crying. I can't risk bystanders, Waxillium thought. I have to get out. As the gun fired, Waxillium threw himself forward. A bullet ricocheted near his head, spraying sparks. He couldn't sense it allomantically. It was aluminum. Waxillium burst out into the space between rail cars, wind roaring and tugging on his clothing. As Miles fired his sixth shot, Waxillium pushed on the couplers below and launched himself upward. He soared into the air above the rail cars. The wind caught him, pushing him backward as he fell. He landed with a thump on the roof several cars to the rear, going down on one knee and steadying himself with his free hand, wind blasting his hair and catching his jacket. He raised his revolver. Miles was here, on the train. I could stop him now. End this. The next thought was immediate. How in the world was he going to stop Miles' 100 lives? A masked figure rose between the train cars just ahead, maybe only 10 feet away, holding a big bore pistol. Miles always had preferred firepower to accuracy. He'd once said that he'd rather miss a few times, knowing that when he did hit, the person he shot wouldn't be getting up again. Waxillium cursed and filled his metal mind, dropping his weight to almost nothing, then rolled to the right, off the roof and over the side of the car. Gunshots followed. He grabbed the rim of a window, pressing himself against the side of the car and wedging one foot down into a slot in the metal along the car's side. His decreased weight allowed him to hold himself there easily, though his light body was buffeted by the wind. Far ahead, the train belched cinders and black smoke. Below, the tracks were a thunder. Waxillium raised his revolver in his right hand and waited as he clung to the side of the car with one hand and leg. Miles's masked head soon poked out between the cars. Waxillium fired a single quick shot, pushing the bullet forward with allomancy for extra speed against the howling wind. He nailed Miles right in the left eye socket. The man's head snapped backward, and blood sprayed against the side of the rail car behind him. He stumbled, and Waxillium shot again, hitting him in the forehead. The man reached up and ripped off his mask, revealing a hawk-like face with short black hair and prominent eyebrows. It was him. Miles. A lawkeeper. A man who should have known better. A twin-born compounder of awesome power. His eye grew back and the head wound was gone in an eye blink. Golden metal glimmered on his arms, deep within the sleeves. His metal mines. They were spikes he wore driven through the skin of his lower arm, like bolts. Metal that pierced skin was extremely difficult to touch with steel pushing. Rust and ruin. Even getting shot in the eye hadn't slowed him much. Waxillium sighted on an approaching tree and fired, then let go of the train and made himself as light as he could. He blew backward in the wind, and as the tree whipped past, he pushed on the bullet lodged in it, shoving himself to the side between two train cars. He crouched there, gasping, heart pounding as another of Miles's bullets ricocheted off the corner near him. How did you fight someone who was virtually immortal?
Skirting some low hills, the railway rounded another curve. Verdant farms and placid orchards rolled past in the near distance. Waxillium grabbed the car's ladder and pulled himself up, carefully peeking over the edge of the roof. Miles was charging toward him at full speed along the top of the rail car. Waxillium cursed, raising his gun as Miles did the same. Waxillium got his shot off first and managed to hit Miles, who was only a few steps away by that point. Waxillium aimed for the gun hand. The bullet ripped into the flesh and bone, causing Miles to curse, dropping his gun. The weapon bounced once off the roof, then disappeared over the side. Waxillium smiled in satisfaction. Miles growled, then leaped forward off the top of the rail car and slammed into him. Waxillium's head cracked back against the metal behind him,
pain sending a flash of white across his vision. He grunted, dazed. Idiot. Most men would never have jumped like that. It was too likely to toss both of them off the moving train. That wouldn't bother Miles. They had both fallen into the space between rail cars, standing on the precarious footing there. Miles grabbed Waxillium by the vest with both hands, lifting him and slamming him back against the rail car behind. Waxillium reflexively fired again and again into Miles's gut at point-blank range, but the bullets ripped open Miles's back without even giving him pause. He pulled Waxillium forward and punched him across the face. Pain flashed and Waxillium's vision swam. He almost stumbled off and fell onto the speeding tracks just below. Desperate, Waxillium tried to push himself up into the air. Miles was ready for this, and as soon as Waxillium started to rise, the other man hooked his foot onto the bottom ladder rung and held on. Waxillium lurched, still feeling dazed, but didn't go into the air. He pushed harder, but Miles hung on, eyes determined.
"You can rip the tendons in my foot, Wax,"
Miles yelled over the racket of wheels on the rails below and the howl of the wind.
"But they'll re-knit immediately. I think your body will give out before mine does. Push harder. Let's see what happens."
Waxillium let go, dropping back to the landing between cars. He tried to grab Miles in a headlock as he came down, but the other man was younger, faster, and a better brawler. Miles ducked, still holding on to Waxillium's vest, then pulled. Waxillium stumbled, off balance, as he lurched into Miles, who drove his fist into Waxillium's gut. Waxillium gasped at the pain. Miles grabbed Waxillium on the shoulder and pulled him forward, moving to bury his fist in Waxillium's belly again. So Waxillium increased his weight tenfold. Miles stumbled, suddenly pulling against something incredibly heavy. His eyes went wide. He was used to dealing with coin shots. They were one of the most common types of allomancer, particularly among criminals. Ferrochemists were far more rare. Miles knew what Waxillium was, but knowing about a power and anticipating it were different things. Still aching and breathless from the punch, Waxillium threw his shoulder into Miles's chest, using his enormous weight to press Miles backward. The man cursed, then let go of Wax and swung away, quickly climbing up the ladder back to the railcar's roof. Wax stopped tapping his metal mind and pushed, throwing himself upward. He landed on the other car, facing Miles across the small gap. Wind played with their clothing, and fields passed on either side. The train swayed as it crossed a switch, and the unsteady footing made Waxillium wobble. He bent down on one knee, pressing one hand against the rooftop and increasing his weight to steady himself. Miles stood tall, obviously indifferent to the shaky footing. Indistinctly, Waxillium could hear people crying out, probably as they moved into other cars, trying to get away from the fighting. With luck, the disturbance would draw Wayne. Miles reached for the gun at his other hip. Waxillium reached for his other gun as well. He dropped the first, the better of the two, in the fighting. His vision was still fuzzy, his heart racing, but he still got his gun leveled at almost exactly the same instant as Miles. Each fired. A bullet grazed Wax's side, cutting through his coat and drawing blood. His own shot took Miles in the kneecap, making him stumble, knocking his next shot wild. Wax took careful aim, then shot Miles in the hand, again blasting apart flesh and bone. Miles's body immediately began to regrow itself, bone reassembling, sinews springing back like rubber, skin appearing like ice growing over a pond. But the gun dropped. Miles reached for it. Wax casually lowered his gun and shot the other weapon, knocking it backward and off the shaking top of the train.
"Damn it," Miles swore. "Do you know how much those things are worth?"
Still on one knee, Wax raised his gun beside his head, the wind of the train's motion blowing the smoke away from the barrel. Miles rose to his feet again.
"You know, Wax," he yelled over the wind, "I used to wonder if I'd have to face you. A part of me always thought your softness would cause it. I thought you'd let someone go that you shouldn't have. I wondered if I'd have a chance to hunt you down for it."
Waxillium didn't respond. He maintained a level gaze, face impassive. On the inside, he was smarting, trying to catch his breath from the beating he'd taken. He raised his hand to his side, pressing it against the wound.
Blessedly, it wasn't too bad, but it still wet his fingers with blood. The train swayed, and he quickly lowered his hand to the rooftop again.
"What was it that broke you, Miles?" Waxillium called. "The lure of wealth?"
"You know very well this isn't about money."
"You need gold," Waxillium yelled. "Don't deny it. You've always needed it, for your constant compounding."
Miles didn't reply.
"What happened?" Waxillium yelled. "You were a lawkeeper, Miles. A damn good one."
"I was a dog, Wax. A hound. Kept in line with false promises and stern orders."
Miles backed up a few paces, then ran forward, leaping over the gap between them. Waxillium stood warily and backed up.
"Don't tell me you never felt it,"
Miles yelled, snarling.
"You worked every day to fix the world, Wax. You tried to end the pain, the violence, the robberies. It never worked. The more men you put down, the more troubles arose."
"It's the life of a lawkeeper," Waxillium said. "If you gave up, fine. But you didn't have to join the other side."
"I was already on the other side," Miles said. "Where did the criminals come from? Was it the shopkeeper next door who started rampaging and murdering? Was it the boys who grew up near town, working their father's dry farm? No, it was the mine workers shipped out from the city to dig into the depths and exploit the latest rich find, then be abandoned once it was exhausted. It was the fortune hunters. It was the rich fools from the city who wanted adventure."
"I don't care who it was," Waxillium said, still backing up.
He was on the next-to-last car. He was running out of space to retreat.
"I served the law."
"I served it too," Miles called. "But now I serve something better. The essence of the law, but mixed with real justice. An alloy, Wax. The best parts of both, made into one. I do something better than chase the filth sent to me from the city." "You can't tell me you never noticed it. What if Parr's the dead man, your great catch of the last 5 years? I remember you hunting him. I remember your nights without sleep, your anxiety, the blood on the dirt in the center of Wuthering when he left old Burlow's daughter dead for you to find. Where did he come from?"
Waxillium didn't reply. Parr's had been a murderer from the city, a butcher who had been caught killing beggars. He'd fled out into the roughs, and there he had again worked to sate his grisly obsession.
"They didn't stop him,"
Miles spat, stepping forward.
"They didn't send you help. They didn't care about the roughs. Nobody cares about the roughs. They barely seem to notice us save as a place to deposit their trash."
"So you robbed them?" Wax called. "Kidnap their daughters? Murder any who stand in your way?"
Miles took another step forward.
"I do what needs to be done, Wax. Isn't that the code of the lawkeeper? I haven't stopped being one. You never stop being a lawkeeper. It gets in you. You do what nobody else will. You stand up for the downtrodden, make things better, stop the criminals. Well, I've just decided to set my sights on a more powerful brand of criminal."
Waxillium shook his head.
"You've let yourself become a monster, Miles."
"You say that,"
Miles said, wind whipping at his short hair.
"But your eyes, Wax, they show the truth. I can see it. You do get what I'm saying. You felt it too. You know that I'm right."
"I'm not going to join you."
"I'm not asking you to,"
Miles said, voice growing softer.
"You've always been the good hound, Wax. If your master beats you, you just whimper and wonder how to better serve. I don't think we'd work well together. Not in this."
Miles lunged forward. Waxillium dumped all of his weight into his metal mind and hopped backward, letting the wind grab him and drag him a good 20 feet away. He increased his weight and landed on the last rail car. They were approaching the suburbs, the flora of the outer estates dwindled.
"Go ahead and run," Miles called. "I'll just wander back and take little Lady Harms the bastard. And Wayne, I've long been wanting an excuse to put a bullet in that man's head."
He turned and began to stroll in the other direction. Waxillium cursed, dashing forward. Miles turned, his lips spreading in a cold smile. He reached down, pulling a long-bladed knife out of the back of his boot. It was aluminum. He didn't have a single allomantically reactive piece of metal on his body that Waxillium could see.
"I need to throw him off the train," Wax thought. He couldn't beat Miles here, not for good. He needed a more controlled environment, and he needed time to plan.
As he got close, Wax raised his gun and tried to blast the knife out of Miles' hand, but the other man spun the knife and rammed it through his own left forearm, jamming it right down through the flesh so it stuck out the bottom. He didn't even flinch. Stories told all around the roughs claimed that after suffering hundreds of wounds that should have killed him, Miles had grown completely oblivious to pain. Miles held his hands out, ready to grab Waxillium, but he'd also be able to whip out that knife in a flash. Waxillium got out his own knife and held it in his left hand. The two circled for a moment, Wax's increased weight helping to steady him atop the thumping train car. It still wasn't terribly sure footing, and sweat trickled down his brow, blown sideways by the wind. A few fools poked their heads up between distant cars trying to watch the action. Unfortunately, none of those fools was Wayne. Wax fainted forward with a quick step, but Miles didn't take the bait. Wax was only a fair knife fighter, and Miles was known as one of the best. But if Wax could roll them both off the train...
"At this speed, it will end me, but not him," he thought. "Unless I can get a push underneath me. Rusts, this is going to be hard."
He had only one chance, and that was to end the fight quickly. Miles came in to seize him. Wax took a breath and stepped into it, which Miles seemed to find surprising, though he still managed to grab Wax's arm. With his other hand, Miles pulled the knife free from his own arm, preparing to thrust it toward Wax. In desperation, Wax increased his weight and threw his shoulder into Miles's chest. Unfortunately, Miles anticipated that move. He dropped to the roof, rolling, and kicked Wax in the legs. In the blink of an eye, Wax was tumbling through the air toward the gravel and rock beside the railway tracks. Some primal part of him knew what to do. He pushed on the knife in his hand, ripping it free, and plunging it into the earth directly below him. That bounced him into the air as he simultaneously shed his weight. The wind caught him. He was spinning, and he lost all sense of direction. He hit and rolled into a heap, slamming against something hard. He stopped moving, but his vision continued to lurch. The sky spun. All grew still, his vision slowly returning to normal. He was alone in the middle of a weedy field. The train was puffing away down the tracks. He groaned and rolled over. "A man my age shouldn't be doing this kind of thing," he thought, stumbling to his feet. He hadn't started feeling his age until the last few years, but he was over 40 now. That was ancient by Ruff's standards. He stared after the escaping railway train, shoulder aching. The thing was, Miles had said one thing that was right. You never stopped being a lawkeeper. Wax gritted his teeth and dashed forward. He scooped up the gun he'd dropped when falling. It was easy to find with his allomancy. Then jumped without breaking stride and landed atop the tracks. He pushed, throwing himself into the air. He reached a good height, then shoved on the rails behind him, shooting forward. A careful push below, a continuous push behind. The wind roared around him, his clothing a noisy flurry, blood seeping from the wound at his side. There was a thrill to this, the flight of a coin shot. It was a freedom no other allomancer could know. When the air became his, he felt the same exhilaration he had years ago, when he'd first sought his fortune in the roughs. He wished that he were wearing his mist cloak and that the mists were around him. Everything always seemed to work better in the mists. They were said to protect the just. He caught up to the train in moments, then threw himself into a powerful arc over it. A small figure was walking along the tops of the rail cars, making his way toward Wayne and Marcy. Wax pushed downward, to keep himself from hitting too hard, but increased his weight at the same time, slamming into the train's roof, denting it into a crater around him. He stood up straight, then flipped his revolver open, as if to reload. The casings and unspent rounds flipped up into the air, and he caught one. Miles spun. Wax tossed the cartridge at him. Looking startled, Miles snatched it out of the air.
"Goodbye,"
Wax said, then slammed as powerful a push as he could into that cartridge. Miles's eyes opened wide. His hand jerked backward into his chest, and then he was flung free of the train, the push on the cartridge effectively transferred to him. The train rounded a bend as Miles soared through the air and crashed into the rocky ground beyond. Wax sat down, then lay back, eyes toward the sky. He breathed in deeply, aching, and pressed his hand to the wound at his side. He rode all the way to the next stop before climbing down.
"We had orders, m'lord," the railway engineer said. "Even when I heard there was gunfire back in the passenger cars, we ain't to stop for anything. The vanishers get you when you stop."
"It is just as well," Waxillium said, gladly taking a cup of water from a young man in an apprentice engineer's vest. "If you had stopped, it likely would have meant my death." He sat in a small room at the station, which, by tradition, was owned and operated by a minor member of the house that owned the land nearby. The lord himself was out, but the steward had immediately sent for the local surgeon. Waxillium had his coat, vest, and shirt off, and was holding a bandage to his side. He wasn't certain he had time to wait for that surgeon. It would take Miles about an hour of running to reach this station. Fortunately, he wasn't a steel ferrochemist capable of increasing his speed. An hour, likely, but it was best to plan for the worst. If Miles found a horse, he could arrive sooner. And Waxillium wasn't certain exactly how Miles's compounding would affect his stamina. Perhaps he might be capable of running longer distances than he should be able to.
"We almost have your men out, my lord," another apprentice said, entering. "Those locks aren't supposed to be this hard to open."
Waxillium drank his water. Miles had planned his trap well. Wayne and Marcy had been confined in their car, along with all the others who happened to be there, by lengths of metal jammed into locking mechanisms on the outer doors. Miles had waited until Waxillium left his room, then had quietly trapped the others before hunting him. There was some luck to that, at least. Miles hadn't simply killed them. It made sense that he hadn't, however. It would have been risky going in to try to kill Wayne, who could heal himself, and risk drawing Waxillium back, then facing one on either side. Miles was too careful for that. Waxillium had been the real target. The others were better locked away until the primary goal was accomplished.
"You need to get your train going again," Waxillium said to the engineer.
He was a heavy-set man with a dark brown beard and a flat-topped cap.
"You're in danger from the vanishers. We need to ride the train all the way into the heart of the city. We can't delay."
"But your wound, my lord."
"It'll be fine," Waxillium said.
Out in the roughs, he'd often had to go days or weeks with a wound before a surgeon could tend it. The door burst open and Marcy stumbled through. Her blue dress was still singed from the explosion at the mansion, but she wore it well, despite the folds of lace underneath the glistening outer layer. The blue vest that pulled closed around the bodice was missing a button on the bottom, probably ripped free in the fall. He hadn't noticed that before. She raised her hands to her mouth at the sight of the bloody bandage, then immediately turned beet red at seeing him with his shirt off. He did have a moment of pride in the fact that, though he had some gray in his hair, he still had the lean muscles of a much younger man.
"Oh, Harmony," she said. "Are you all right? Is that your blood? And should I be in here? I can go. I should probably go, shouldn't I? Are you sure you're all right?"
"Hail, Liv," Wayne said, peeking in behind her. "What'd you do, Wax? Trip on the way out of the washroom?"
"Miles found me," Waxillium said, removing the bandage. It looked like the wound had mostly stopped bleeding. He took another bandage from one of the apprentices, then prepared to tie it in place.
"Is he dead?"
Marcy asked.
"I killed him a few more times," Waxillium said,
and it was about as effective as what everyone else has tried.
You need to get his metal mines off of him, Wayne said. It's the only way.
He keeps 30 different ones, Waxillium said, all piercing his skin, all with enough healing to bring him back from practically any wound. A pewter arm, or even a lesser bloodmaker like Wayne, could be killed with a direct shot to the head. Miles could heal so quickly that even that wouldn't kill him. He was said to keep the healing running constantly. From what Waxillium knew of compounding, it could be very dangerous to stop once you'd started.
Sounds like a challenge, Wayne said.
Marcy lingered in the doorway for a moment longer, then apparently made a decision and rushed forward.
Let me see the wound,
she said, kneeling beside Waxillium's bench. He frowned, but stopped tying the bandage straps and let her peel back the cloth. She inspected the wound.
You know something of surgery, m'lady? The engineer said, shifting from foot to foot.
He seemed a little anxious at her presence in the room.
I go to university, she said.
Ah, that's right, Waxillium thought.
So?
Wayne asked. Marcy prodded at the wound.
University rules, set by Harmony himself, dictate a broad education.
Yeah, I know they have to take girls, Wayne said.
Marcy paused.
Not that meaning of broad, Wayne.
Students have to be trained in a little of everything, Waxillium said, before they can choose a specialty.
That includes basic healing and some small amount of surgery, Marcy said, as well as complete anatomy courses.
Wayne frowned.
Wait, anatomy? Meaning all parts of anatomy?
Marcy blushed.
Yes.
So
it was very popular in class to watch my reactions, apparently, she said, still blushing. And I'd rather not dwell on that at the moment, Wayne, thank you. This needs stitches, Waxillium.
Can you do it?
I've never worked on anyone alive before.
Eh? Wayne said. I spent months training with dueling canes on dummies before beating up my first real person. It's pretty much the same thing.
I'll be all right, Marcy, Waxillium said.
So many scars,
she said quietly, as if not noticing what he'd said. She was staring at his chest and sides and seemed to be counting the old bullet wounds. There are 7, he said softly in reply, replacing the bandage and tying it tight.
You've been shot 7 times?
She asked. A lot of gunshots aren't lethal, if you know how to care for them, Waxillium said. They don't really—
Oh,
she said, raising a hand to her lips.
I meant, we only have records of 5. I really will need to hear about the other 2 sometime.
Right, he said, grimacing and standing. He waved for his shirt.
Oh, bother,
she said.
That didn't come out very well, did it? I really am impressed that you have been shot so often. Really?
Getting hit's not really that impressive, Wayne noted. It don't take much skill to get shot. It's avoiding the bullets that's tough.
Waxillium snorted, pulling his arm through a sleeve. Marcy stood.
I'll turn around so you can dress, she said, beginning to spin.
Turn around, Waxillium said flatly.
Yes.
So I can dress.
A little silly, I guess.
A little, he said, smiling and pulling his other sleeve on. He began doing the buttons. Wayne looked so amused he was having trouble standing up.
All right,
she said, raising her hands to the sides of her face.
I realize that I get a little flustered sometimes. I'm just not used to things exploding, people getting shot at, and finding my friends sitting and bleeding with their shirts off when I walk in. This is all very new to me.
It's all right, Waxillium said, laying a hand on her shoulder. There are much worse things to be than genuine, Marcy. Besides, Wayne wasn't much better when he was new to all of this. Why, he used to get so nervous that he would start,
Hey,
Wayne said.
No use bringing that up.
What?
Marcy asked, lowering her hands.
Nothing, Wayne replied. Come on. We should move, right? If Mr. Miles' murderer is still alive, he'll be wanting to shoot us, right? And as good as Wax is at getting shot, he's had lots of practice, you see. I think we best be avoiding more of that sort today.
He's right, Waxillium said, pulling on his vest, then putting on his shoulder holsters. He winced.
Are you sure you're all right?
Marcy asked.
He's fine, Wayne said, holding the door open for them. I got quite near my entire rusted back blown off earlier, if you'll kindly recall, and I didn't hear nearly an ounce of the sympathy you're showing him.
That's different,
Marcy said, walking past him.
What? Why? 'Cause I can heal?
No, she said. Because, even after knowing you only a short time, I'm fairly certain that on one level or another, you deserve to get blown up every now and again.
Oi, Wayne said. That's harsh.
But untrue, Waxillium said, pulling on his coat. It was looking quite ragged.
Didn't say that now, did I?
Wayne said, and sneezed.
Keep moving, slow boy. Rosts. A man gets shot and he thinks he can take all afternoon. Let's move!
Waxillium walked past. He forced himself to smile, though he was starting to feel as ragged as his coat. There wasn't much time. Miles had taken off his mask, but had obviously expected to kill Waxillium. He now knew that he'd been outed, and that would make him even more dangerous. If Miles and his people were going to strike for more aluminum, they'd do it soon. Tonight, probably, assuming there was a shipment. Waxillium expected one soon. He'd read something in the broadsheets about House Tekiel boasting of their new armored freight cars.
So what do we do when we get back?
Wayne asked softly as they walked toward the railway car. We're going to need someplace safe to plan, right? Waxillium sighed, knowing what Wayne was fishing for.
You're probably right, Wayne smiled.
You know, Waxillium said, I'm not sure I'd call any place near Renette safe, particularly if you are there.
Better than being exploded, Wayne said happily.
Mostly.